This is an exclusive interview from Leeds Student Radio.
So we're with Sam Lackey in the Hepworth Gallery today. How do you go about curating such a big collection of work? Because it's over 50 pieces, isn't it?
Yeah, it was quite difficult actually, because Linda Benglis has produced so much over the entirety of her career. And not only has she produced so much, but in so many different media. So in the exhibition, there's works made of paper, there's works made of bronze, there are paintings on the floor, there's video, there's photographs. So the idea really that the lead curator came up to was to orientate it by dividing her practice into four sections. And he did this by identifying these four locations that Linda's associated with or works within. And that's New York, Greece, India, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. And the idea there was to use each of these locations as a way of thinking about the work and think about the work's relationship to that context. So, for example, the Indian works use paper that's made in ashrams locally. The Santa Fe works draw on ceramics and have some of the light that you get from that desert environment. So it was a kind of way of trying to organise thinking about the sculpture in relation to where it's made.
Also, Linda Benglis is a massive inspiration in feminist art, especially in the time of the 60s, 70s, 80s, where women were becoming more prevalent in like the art world. How much of an impact do you think Linda Benglis has actually had on the art world and feminism in general?
I think she's had a really significant impact on the art world in that she's an incredibly successful female sculptor that's continued producing work and being successful for the entirety of her career, and that's spanning 40 years. So just in particular by just producing and working in that way. More specifically, she is very well known for the Art Forum advert that she did in 1974, where she posed naked with this double-headed dildo, which is still an extraordinarily strong image. When I looked at the Art Forum for the first time with the other curator on the show, Andrew, I was shocked at how much strength the image still had, even at this time, you know, quite a significant period on. And that was interesting to look at. And that moment, of course, has been taken up in feminist art histories. And the article was republished in the Griselda Pollock and Rosika Parker series of essays framing feminism as well. So it's something that's had an afterlife, but an afterlife that's very specifically connected to one image. And there's something interesting in the way that Linda Benglis talks about that moment and the way it's taken up in art histories as well, I think. So for Linda, she talks about the importance at that moment of feeling that she had to say something, that she had to intervene, and that she had to talk about gender and sexuality, but to do it in a way that wasn't binary. I think the fact that it's a double-headed dildo, that it's about male and female pleasure, it's not just about strapping something on, I think is significant there. And the fact that, as you see in the exhibition, she cast it in order, the story is, to send a copy to each of the editors of Art Forum who resigned after the advert. And then she entitled that sculpture, that bronze sculpture, Smile, which makes me think that there's often we think about kind of criticism around gender and femininity as not having any kind of sense of humour or being incredibly earnest. And that's because these subjects are incredibly important and serious. But to acknowledge something within that that's playful, I think, can often be really positive. And that's an incredible contribution that Linda made.
How important do you think feminist views are represented in art?
It's really difficult to answer. It's as if there are two separate things going on. So there's an idea that perhaps it's not significant to be representing ideas to do with female experience within the work itself. Mm-hmm. So I think that it would be very difficult to tell from Linda's sculptures, for example, if they're made by a man or a woman, that they're not gendered in that way. However, there's a whole other discourse about the representation of women in organisations, institutions and collections, which I think is still something that many women artists feel very strongly about because they still feel underrepresented, not unfairly so. At the Hepworth, we really try to have a 50-50 split in the amount of work we show by male artists and female artists. And of course, that comes in part from being in a museum with a national profile that's named after a woman artist. Yeah. There aren't many galleries named in such a way. So we've got a pretty good starting point, actually.
What challenges do you think Linda Benglis faced as a female artist working in a very male-dominated sculptor art world?
I don't know what challenges she faced. She seemed to attack them with vigour and enthusiasm, and more specifically to set up dialogues with the male artists who were her contemporaries. And sometimes those dialogues were really explicit. So in the video work that she did with Morris, where they're having a conversation backwards and forwards and swapping film work, sometimes it seems to be a conversation that seems to reject some of the outward manifestations of the work made by her male colleagues. So, for example, the glitter, which works all sorts of ways formally in the work, also sometimes seems to me to be a real provocation in the face of the pure white or very sparsely made objects of minimalism, those kind of very perfect cubes that are, you know, so perfect looking and so restrained. And at the same time as that's being made as and heralded as the, you know, forefront of art practice, there's Linda Benglis introducing day-glow paint, glitter, these materials which are so opposite to that, which is a very male aesthetic, I would say, the or masculine in some ways of minimalism. So I think she does it in different ways throughout her career.
What advice would you give to young female artists?
Oh, the same as I would give to young male artists, which is to go and see as much art as possible, to think about art as much as possible, and to try and figure out what it is, what question it is that you're answering and the way that you're going to answer it for the rest of your life, probably.
How important is education in narrowing the gender gap?
I think that education is really significant in narrowing the gender gap, particularly in countries where women don't have and girls don't have the same access to education. That's something that we're seeing, you know, very visibly around the world. In more developed countries, perhaps, then it's what happens after that. We know that young women succeed and do incredibly well at university and school, but it's what happens to the opportunities after that point that we need to think about.